Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Recently, during my time away from my computer, while I had a little bit of a technical problems with a motherboard and whatnot, and I shared the testimony of God's grace in providing a new computer for me. But during that time, there were some very good articles concerning some of the current events and things that were taking place, including the midterm elections, of course. And last week, if you were with me, you realized that I was speaking about some of the issues concerning politics and where so-called Christianity, that of a liberal flavor, that which I would call fake Christianity and not Christianity at all, has gotten more and more involved in trying to label themselves as true evangelical born-again Christians and that type of thing. So we looked at some of the political things that were taking place, some of the attacks against Jeff Sessions before he left his position. I'm assuming he's gone by now. I haven't checked the news lately, but I know he's moving on. But he was under attack by pastors, fake pastors from his own denomination, the United Methodist Church, which is Hillary Clinton's. And so I went to some length to expose what's been exposed in the past of Hillary Clinton's involvement with the New Age leader Jean Houston in channeling the dead spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt. Again, not making this stuff up. there's plenty of places where you can read it for yourself. Bob Woodward wrote a book called The Choice. There's news. I have a lot of stuff on file, but anyway. But we spent some time looking at Jean Houston. And like I said, the Clintons put a spin on that, of course. It was just a psychological exercise. But look at the potential danger that can take place with people who are infused with demons like Jean Houston, and how that can affect well-known political leaders. Anyway, that was then and now is now, but that's kind of the segue from generally looking at politics to the midterm election recently. And I noticed that there was an older booklet put out by the Lighthouse Trails ministry, and it's called They Hate Christianity But Love Another Jesus. And this little booklet was put out some time ago, 2013, but on their website they recently had some comments. This is actually, I got printed this out November 6th, or maybe this was from their e-newsletter on November 6th. It says concerning, you know, they hate Christianity but they love another Jesus is the title, is the title of that. And of that little booklet. And it says, in May of 2013, Lighthouse Trails released a report entitled, you know, the one I just shared, How Conservative Christians Are Being Manipulated and Ridiculed, Especially During Election Years. In view of the coming elections and some of the things going on around the country in the background, it seems diligent to repost the report at this time. While some of the documentation in the report is a few years old, there are similar efforts going on today as are described in the report. For instance, the Vote Common Good, a website created on June 2018, just in time for the elections, bus tours taking place right now around the country are intending on flipping Congress. The lineup of those speaking on the tour are largely extreme liberal emergent figures such as Brian McLaren, Shane Claiborne, I've mentioned them on several occasions, Frank Schaefer, this is the famous and wonderful man of God, you know, Francis Schaefer's son, who at one time went to join the Orthodox Church. I don't know if he's still in the Orthodox Church, but he's described here as an emergent figure, so he's not doing his father's memory real well. But anyway, so a few names I'm not familiar with, John Pavlovitz, Mark Scandretti, Doug Padgett, I'm familiar with him, Samir Samalovic, Diana Butler Bass, and I actually had mentioned her in a podcast not too long ago when I was looking at a local liberal congregation in my hometown, a First Presbyterian, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the pastor had quoted her in glowing terms. She's apparently a real rising star among the liberals. And Nadia Boltz Weber. Okay, so these are those that were speaking on this tour. And says, folks, these people mean business, and they won't let up until they've accomplished their Marxist, socialist-leaning, anti-biblical goals. This next election will come and go, but they will still be here telling the world that they represent true, relevant, there's that word again, organic Christianity, and your children and grandchildren will believe them. We know that politics is never going to solve the problems of any country, and there is no perfect political party, but what is being presented by the people in groups like the one named above is an Antichrist agenda. I firmly believe that myself, folks. I'm quoting, you know, Lighthouse Trails, but I totally concur with that. It says, that sounds strong, but think about what Diana Butler Bass, who was part of the 2015 Parliament of World Religions, said in her book, Christianity After Religion, The End of Church, and the Birth of a New Spiritual Awakening. And by the way, I just found that book at a library sale just the other day, so I have that in my library now. I just ran across that. Anyway, this is the quote. Conventional, comforting Christianity has failed. Hold on just a second. Okay. It does not work. For the churches that insist on preaching it, the jig is up. We cannot go back, and we should not want to. In earlier American awakenings, preachers extolled old-time religion as the answer to questions about God, morality, and existence. This awakening is different. It is not about sawdust trails, mortification of sin, or, you know, putting to death the old man, and being washed in the blood of the Lamb, the preaching of the cross, in other words. The awakening going on around us is not an evangelical revival. Well, duh. And it is not returning to the faith of our fathers or recreating our grandparents' church. Instead, it is a great, capital letters, returning, capital letters, to ancient understandings of the human quest for the divine. That's page 36 and 99 of her book. Well, yeah, I would say it's this awakening is not only a great returning to ancient understandings of human quest or divine, but it's actually part of the coming great apostasy that we're seeing taking place and that's predicted in Scripture. As people move away from the Word of God, the written Word of God, to their experiential, pagan-infused, demonically-infused false religion and false religious ideas. What's the sad to the point of pathetic, as far as I'm concerned, business here, is that why do all these people say, yes, we are Christians? We're Christians, but we hate Christianity. But then that's the point of that title, isn't it, of the booklet. They hate Christianity, but love another Jesus. That's kind of a takeoff of one of the books that written by one of these emergents. I forgot the name of his book, but that this Lighthouse Trails booklet is kind of doing a takeoff of that by telling you the truth, and that is that they do. They hate Christianity, and they love Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible because they hate the Bible as well. And yet they give lip service to the Bible and try to deceive people into thinking they're Christians and that they're the true Christians, which, of course, is what's going to bring in the harlot church that the Antichrist is going to use after the Bride of Christ leaves this planet and the wedding supper of the Lamb takes place, because we know that Christ speaks in endearing terms of the true church, you know, of his true church as a bride, whereas God in the book of Revelation speaks of the Antichrist's one world religion that he's going to use as a harlot, Mystery Babylon, the great harlot. So the article goes on to say, several of the names we have listed above have said similar type things about biblical Christianity over the years, as you can read about on our site and in our published materials. Some of you may remember our 2009 article, Brian McLaren wants end-time believing Christians robustly confronted. As far as these highly influential, because of course they don't, McLaren and so many of these people, they're not interested in prophecy. They're not interested in a big portion of the Bible and what is taking place even now. But they don't want you to concentrate on that because they have another agenda, and it's earth-based, and it's based on creating a kingdom here, supposedly a kingdom of God, but it's a man-made kingdom that they're trying to build because they're not looking forward to the coming of the true Christ, who's going to set up his own millennial reign. Anyway, as far as these highly influential emergents are concerned, the old-time religion of being washed in the blood of the Lamb is over, and you can be sure their target is your children and grandchildren, especially ones who've grown up in Christian homes. When you consider how Rick Warren, Bob Buford of the Leadership Network, and Bill Hybels all had a part in launching the emergent church back in the 90s, and then never retracted a single promotion of it, it's difficult to witness the fruit of their labors these 25 years later and listen to the silence of Christian leaders who seem to care more about building their own empires than defending that old-time religion. All right, so that launches us into the liberal infestation, liberal so-called Christianity infestation, into the elections, the midterms that we just experienced, specifically, and politics in general. Now, here's an article from the Christian Post, and this is actually from September 27, 2018. Statement against social justice marginalizes people who talk about race and justice, Tim Keller says. Now, Tim Keller is very popular in some corridors of professing Christendom. But listen to some of this article, by the way, is by Leonardo Blair, Christian Post reporter. It says a controversial statement signed by more than 9,000 evangelicals and Christian organizations deploring social justice as a dangerous concept to the gospel belittles Christians who talk about race and justice, says Tim Keller. It's not so much what the statement says, but what it does, it's trying to marginalize people talking about race and justice. It's trying to say, you're really not biblical. And it's not fair in that sense, according to Keller. But you know what? They really aren't biblical. So many of them are really not biblical. Or whatever few areas they might be biblical in, they're very unbiblical in the other emphases that they are that are a part of their whole agenda. And if you've done much research, you would come to the same conclusion. The social gospel has never been biblical. You can go back a couple hundred years ago, and you can see the modernists and the fundamentalists who were going at it over that whole issue of the social gospel, or at least that was one of the issues. So it's not a new battle, but people like Keller wants to defend those who are promoting a false social gospel. Let me move on. The statement on social justice in the gospel was released early this month, with initial signers including John MacArthur of Grace Community Church, who recently denounced evangelicism's newfound obsession. And I think that's a great way to put it. Specifically, he said, the statement says, we are deeply concerned that values borrowed from secular culture are currently undermining scripture in the areas of race and ethnicity, manhood and womanhood, and human sexuality. The Bible's teaching on each of these subjects is being challenged under the broad and somewhat nebulous rubric of concern for social justice. Romans 12 tells us that we're not to be conformed to the world, the ideas of the world. We're not to allow secular culture to undermine what God's Word has clearly stated and said. And yet that's what's taking place. And people like Keller wants to defend those who are doing such a thing. And that's because he's one of them. I'm pretty confident of that. But, hey, he's popular. It says, if the doctrines of God's word are not uncompromisingly reasserted and defended at these points, there is every reason to anticipate that these dangerous ideas and corrupted moral values will spread their influence into other realms of biblical doctrines and principles. Really, you know, you go back to Fuller Seminary, and when they began to doubt the inerrancy of God's word over the years, you know, from, I guess, the 60s, or the 70s, about that time, till now, they have become an institution which has promoted every type of false teaching, heretical, weird view you could imagine. And they used to be a good, sound, solid seminary. But anyway, I've talked about them a lot in the past, and I'm sure I will a lot more in the future as we move on. So, you know, dangerous ideas and corrupted moral values will spread their influence into other realms. That's what happened with the whole idea of, with the whole issue of inerrancy, which, by the way, Francis Schaeffer very strongly defended before he went to be with the Lord. The rapidity with which these deadly ideas have spread from the culture at large into churches and Christian organizations, including some that are evangelical and reformed, necessitates the issuing of this statement now. That's the statement that John MacArthur and the others were making. Keller says he is concerned that the statement is a reactionary response instead of a biblically sound one. And all I can say is I would have to disagree with that. And I'm going to leave that article now and move on to another one. Again, there's so much stuff going on in this battle that's taking place. It's just an amazing time to live. And all I can say is come quickly, Lord Jesus, as the battle lines are drawn, as true Christianity and false Christianity are being exposed and being represented and misrepresented. But we'll be getting in a lot more into that. And again, I go back to, you know, when you look at Relevant Magazine, it mirrors so much of the fake, false Christian so-called ideas that these types of groups that I'm speaking to now are promoting and spreading more and more of these unbiblical, and when I say demonically infused, I mean that. The Bible says that in the last days, doctrines of demons and seducing spirits are going to help to bring this apostasy, this falling away from the faith. Thank God not everyone's going to fall away from the faith, the true faith in Christ, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and the true Christ of the Bible and of the gospel. But this is an event that the Bible has predicted for 2,000 years. And we've been in the last days for 2,000 years, but I believe we're in the last of the last days, and we're seeing so much of this stuff is just racing towards, you know, the end, as we see all of these various wolves in sheep's clothing coming forth and deceiving so many people. Now, the next article that I want to look at is from the Christian Post, and it is from October 5th, 2018. Samuel Smith wrote this article. Evangelical leaders sign Chicago invitation to counter pro-Trump narrative of evangelicism. All right, and there's a picture, of course, and it's Sojourner's founder, Jim Wallace. Remember, I mentioned him last podcast. I'm not sure if I did this podcast, but his name comes up a lot as he represents this false, fake liberal view of Christianity. It says he speaks in support of the DREAM Act during a press conference outside of the U.S. Capitol on November 1st, 2017. So it's kind of fitting that they would have his picture on this article. It says over three dozen progressive evangelical leaders signed on to a statement countering the false narrative that has led many to paint evangelical Christians as only white conservative Trump supporters. Well, you'll never hear me say that evangelical Christians are only white conservative Trump supporters, and I don't know of any white conservative Trump supporters that are true Christians would say that. But, you know, fake news, it abounds, not only in the secular culture, but in a lot of the so-called Christian culture. Now, it says organized by the evangelical social justice organization, Sojourners, of course that's Jim Wallace's group, and Evangelicals for Social Action, at least 39 left-leaning Christian leaders have signed on to support of a new declaration called the Chicago Invitation Diverse evangelicals continue the journey. You know, this is, the document goes on. It says, the document comes 45 years after Evangelicals for Social Action and Sojourners helped organize the Chicago Declaration of Evangelical Concern. Now, I'm going to refer to a book by Jim Wallis, or about Jim Wallis, a little bit later if I have time. I may not have the time, but this time around. But anyway, the Declaration embraced the rights of the poor and called out the American Church's involvement and attitudes on racism that helped fuel structural injustices. The 1973 Declaration also called for better redistribution of wealth. Sounds a little bit like socialism or communism to anybody. And challenged the misplaced trust in the nation that led to a national pathology of war and violence. It says, although the Declaration brought out a movement of new evangelicals, Sojourner's founder, Jim Wallis, who was included in that left-leaning group, believes that the evangelical movement has been taken over by the conservative religious right and politically co-opted through the 80s up to today. And I would just say to that liberalism and liberal Christianity has never been true biblical Christianity. Never, ever. So nothing was taken over by anybody anywhere whatsoever concerning the liberals. They've never been real Christians. They use redefined terms just like the cults do to misrepresent themselves as being Christian because they don't believe many of the essential doctrines of biblical Christianity. But anyway, I digress. You know, it says... that statement that he said, it's taken over by the conservative religious right. It's, you know, this is the same kind of stuff that was being said, you know, by the modernists. They were saying about the fundamentalists. Harry Emerson Fosdick, the famous liberal, said that he didn't believe in a slaughterhouse religion, referring to the atonement of Jesus Christ. One of the most important and the essential doctrine of Christianity is the atonement. The blood atonement of Jesus Christ. But this guy referred to it as slaughterhouse religion. And many of the emergent people say the same thing. Or they refer to the atonement as really not being true. That God the Father would never do that to his son because that would be the equivalent of, you know, child abuse. Can you imagine? Anyway, and during this battle between the modernists and the fundamentalists years ago, the fundamentalists were the heroes. They weren't called evangelicals, they were called fundamentalists, but we'll get to that later. Today, many Americans associate the word evangelical with white social conservative, the article says. Christians who heavily supported President Donald Trump in the 2016 presidential election, in the election, you know, and I'm not so sure that many Americans associate the word evangelical with white social conservatives because there's so many liberals now who claim to be evangelicals. But anyway, that's my viewpoint on that. I think the word evangelical is becoming really a meaningless term. It's really nebulous. What is an evangelical? But we'll look at that a little bit more. Not in this podcast, but next week, I believe. I'm not going to have time until next week. On the 45th anniversary of the 1973 gathering to draft the Chicago Declaration in September, a younger generation of evangelical leaders met with some of the Declaration's original signatories to draft the brand new Chicago invitation. Sadly, in 2018, several false narratives around the identity of evangelicals in the United States undermine Christian witness and distort American politics. I'd just say the opposite. The fact is, you're not going to find any true Christian witness from the liberal side because personal salvation and eternal things and end time matters, these things don't matter to liberals. You know, they want to build a utopian society here on earth, a man-made society of Christian socialists, basically. So anyway, I think that I'm looking for a little quote here. All right, well, I'm going to move on. the document condemns the media narrative this document we're talking about, this Chicago statement, that stems from exit polls that showed that 81% of evangelicals voted for Trump in the 2016 election. They don't like that. The new document declares that exit polling data only represented white evangelical voters. Of course, I think there should have been more than 81% evangelicals if they're true Christians. But anyway, that's my opinion. They did not accurately tally evangelical voters of color. You know, I was shocked that 25% supposedly of evangelicals voted for Barack Obama. How in the world can you vote for someone that, you know, promotes abortion and attacks God's marriage, you know, the God's invention called marriage between a man and a woman? But anyway, don't want to get too political here. When evangelicals of color and younger evangelicals are accurately accounted for, the picture changes significantly, and I don't doubt that. You know, there may have been a lot more. It may have been less than 81% of evangelicals voting for Trump. But anyway, it says, in contrast to prevailing narrative, the document notes that the term evangelicals refers to an ethnically diverse group of believers who reflect an ongoing commitment to Christ, authority of Scripture, evangelism, and God's biblical call to justice. You know, Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. Man's not going to be able to set up some messianic kingdom on his own. And what's being promoted really is a false mandate, a social gospel mandate, versus the true Great Commission that God gave, that Christ gave his church, to go out and preach the gospel and to have an eternal perspective and not this temporal worldly perspective that these liberals have. Millions of people, especially young believers, have left the faith, and I would say not the true faith, during a time in which evangelicism has become increasingly partisan and politicized. I would say that many left because of their own rebellion towards God's truth and his word. You know, anarchy is really what characterizes the time we're living in. That's going to bring in the lawlessness. The man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is coming. He's going to come in on a wave of anarchy and lawlessness like we're seeing. So I would say that many young people have left the church, the professing church, because of their rebellion towards God's word and his truth. He says, like Dr. Martin Luther King, we believe the church is called to be the conscience of the state. You know, Martin Luther King was influenced by Gandhi, who wasn't even a Christian, probably more so than anybody else. And though, you know, but anyway, you know, Martin Luther King did some good things. But you know, his first priority didn't seem to be preaching the gospel, the eternal gospel of Christ. Anyway, I'm just about out of time.